Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
She said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, welcome back in. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast, hour number two of our radio program on the Infinity Sports Network. Combine week is here, and I'll be curious this time next week how we're talking about who's going to go number one overall in the NFL draft. Also be curious if there is any intel that comes out with some big names that are obviously already in the league, whether it's a Myles Garrett trade, you know, where is Aaron Rodgers going to land, and also what's the latest cooking with Matthew Stafford. So let's go out to the guest line right now. We'll chat some NFL offseason. We'll chat some NFL draft, some combine, and we'll do so with the senior NFL reporter and insider for Bleacher Report and Underdog Fantasy, and that is our pal James Palmer. James, always appreciate you doing this. Thanks so much. How you been?
I'm good, brother. You all right?
Yeah, fantastic. Can't complain. Right now, when it comes to the number one overall pick, I've thought long and hard about this, and I don't think the quarterbacks are great this year, but I still think Cam Ward ultimately is going to be the number one overall pick to Tennessee. What say you?
You know, there was a lot of buzz, Zach, in New Orleans talking to people that maybe Nashville's looking to move out. Obviously, we're really early in the process, right? So there's a lot to dissect here specifically with the quarterbacks, and they're going to do a ton of work on both of these guys that are kind of in the top, and Shador Sanders and Cam Ward. And I think if the consensus you look around the league is right now, Cam Ward's here and Shador's kind of below him. So if you're going to go quarterback, that appears to be the case with the Titans. But I wouldn't be surprised if they moved out. They have so many needs. If they decided to find a way to get a haul, I think that would behoove Mike Borgonzi, the new general manager, to look into that. Now, the issue is, I don't think if you wanted to move out of that one spot this year compared to years past, you're going to get the haul that you would in years past. So that might play a factor into this as well, just because you have to have teams willing to move up. And I think that's a big part of this combine coming up. A big part of the next couple of weeks is Shador Sanders and Cam Ward really need to start selling how good they can possibly be to the rest of the league. If some of these teams that want to move down, whether it's the Patriots, whether it's the Jaguars, teams got to move up for quarterbacks, right? And so you got to sell that there's a necessity for some of these guys to come up. Right now with one, Abdul Carter wouldn't be terrible, in my opinion. Like, that's already a pretty good defensive line. Like, that could be a really good defensive line. And you build off of that strength of that position group, and you continue to look. But I don't get any sense right now that they're, like, quarterback or bust, if that makes sense.
And, like, once you get out of the top 10, trying to move up to one, it gets too difficult. But if you look at the teams inside the top 10, you know, Cleveland could use a quarterback. If, let's say, Tennessee's going to trade the pick, the Giants, the Raiders, the Jets. Is there one team right now say, okay, they'll probably be a little bit more aggressive than the rest if Tennessee says, okay, you know, we're going to open things up for business to trade the number one overall pick?
Yeah, I think the teams that need quarterbacks, you mentioned all of them, and they're all looking in the free agent market. They're looking at what's going to happen with Sam Darnold, look what's going to happen with Matthew Stafford. They're going to look what's happened at the top of this draft if they can move. If you ask around, I would say the teams that have done the most work, I don't know if this is exactly your question, but the teams that have probably done the most work are the Giants and the Raiders. And looking at the draft and evaluating these quarterbacks and maybe put the most time in the back end of the season and seeing them play in person, going to their bowl games, whether they just played in the first half or not, and seeing them play as much as possible. I would say those teams have probably put in the most legwork right now looking at these top quarterbacks. So maybe you look into those being the teams that will be most likely to move, but who knows? I think Brian Daboll last year made like a fake Valentine's Day trip just to make everybody think he was going one direction. So maybe Daboll's out there fooling us all again, but they're the two teams that I've heard are putting in the most work right now.
When you get to Matthew Stafford, James Palmer, because that's been, if it's not, right, who's going to be the number one pick? You got the Matthew Stafford conversation, Aaron Rodgers, Miles Garrett, but let's zero in here on Stafford. The Rams are going to let him talk to other teams to see what he could get out there financially. I still think ultimately Stafford's going to be back with the Rams and they'll boost up that salary a little bit, maybe not everything that he wants, because, you know, if you're going to leave, you know, I've seen Albert Breer throw out a few teams that are interested, right? The Browns, mm-hmm. the Giants, the Raiders, like none of those are anywhere close to winning. You know, maybe the Steelers could get you intrigued and you think you could go win a playoff game there, even though they haven't done it since 2016. But ultimately, does your gut tell you that Stafford is just back with the Rams because it makes too much sense for both parties?
I think it's probably the front runner if you're betting on the different probabilities. I would say him returning probably has the best chance right now. I would, with everything you said in terms of the success for a 37-year-old quarterback looking to win another Super Bowl, the Rams gave the Eagles probably their biggest run in the back end of the season, I would say. And so if they would have beaten Philly, you think you almost assume they would have won the NFC Championship game. And so I just think, like, that's probably the most likely scenario. But every turn that we've had, there's been an instance where we've gone, they could have nipped this in the bud, and they haven't. And they could have said he's returning, and they haven't. And now we've gotten to a point to where those conversations have already been had, I'm told, with other teams, to where they can know his market value. They can know where he's at. Because let's just be honest, right now he's grossly underpaid for the way he plays the position. And so that's where they're looking to figure that aspect of it out, as well as the aspect of who would be willing to trade and what would that trade compensation be. Because this is a really young roster the Rams have. But they also, like, I know with all of this discussion, and it's exciting because I think Matthew Stafford is the linchpin for the quarterback market this offseason, and that includes the draft. And so what happens with him, everybody's following along and watching. But I do think, like, Sean McVay really likes Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford really likes playing for Sean McVay. And I think that part is still evident. I just think this is a matter of timing, contract timing, dollars and cents, really all of these things at play. And I think, to me, the reason we're following it is there is some disconnect there. Do they find their way back? They certainly can. But I think the Steelers were the team that you mentioned, to me, are the most interesting, because I think there's just a sense that I have that the Steelers, maybe as opposed to years past, are going to be a little bit more aggressive in taking the swing at the quarterback spot, because it just feels a little different in Pittsburgh right now, doesn't it? Like, there's teams calling, just, is Mike Tomlin available? Like, he's not. But, like, pressure and things like that, living in this, as my buddy Dan Hanser said, like, elite mediocrity, which is what the Steelers are in the AFC, like, maybe you need to take a big swing and it's Aaron Rodgers or it's Matthew Stafford to get up into that group in the AFC that is, if you don't have one of those cyborg quarterbacks, you're not participating in the AFC right now.
Yeah, here's the best thing I could say about the Steelers. I don't think Russell Wilson will be their starter next year, and no. I don't think Justin Fields will be their starter either. Right now, I do think it's going to be Aaron Rodgers, but anytime I throw that out there, people go, you know, can he coexist with Tomlin? Can he coexist with the Rooney family as well in that Steeler culture?
I think those questions are valid, but I think if you look at where Aaron's at in his career and you look at where Tomlin's at, like we just mentioned, where this success has been unbelievable and nobody's questioning what type of coach he is. He's one of the best coaches in the league. And if he became available, everybody'd be knocking their doors down trying to find a way to get Mike Tomlin. But they are in a position as an organization where TJ Watt's getting older, Minkah Fitzpatrick's getting older. I think the offensive line is actually pretty decent. And Arthur Smith's a pretty damn good offensive coordinator. I think when people say, how could they coexist, you look at where everybody in the situation is right now and go, well, maybe they'll find a way to make it exist because that's what's best for all of us. And I think if Aaron's looking for a place to play and Matthew Stafford stays put in L.A., he wants to finish with a chance to win. That's probably his best chance to win. And it's for the short term. I think Aaron and everybody included could make that work. And I do know Aaron has an unbelievable amount of respect for Mike Tomlin, and rightfully so.
And that's the thing also for Aaron. If you're not able to replace Stafford in L.A. or you're not able to go to the Steelers, like, where else are you going that, you know, outside of just playing, that you're actually going to want to and go to play at this stage of your career?
I heard in New Orleans there was some buzz about, like, if the Titans move out of one, that he could go to Nashville. He lives there. That was like an odd connection I heard from some people. But you're right, because he's made it pretty clear he'd like this to end the way it did for Brady, and end in a different fashion than what he had. And he wants a chance to win. And so you're right. I think the spots are not like overly abundant for him. What I do find interesting with Aaron Rodgers is, if you ask around, I don't think money is all that important, right? I think he's made more money than anybody that's ever played this game, honestly. Like, I don't think he cares about like breaking the bank on this deal. I think fit is important. And does he take a little less to like try to make that team better? I think with Aaron at this point right now, that isn't an insane thing to say.
Talking to James Palmer, what do you think the timeline here is on the Myles Garrett front? I keep on saying by the end of the first round, I think Myles Garrett will be traded.
Yeah, and they're still dug in, and to my understanding, and we're not trading Myles Garrett. I think they would like to sell Myles on, look at how quickly the last two teams that had the number two overall pick turned things around. Like, look at what happened in Houston 2 years ago. Look what happened in Washington this past year. Why don't you wait and see? Like, why don't you relax a little bit? We want to keep you. We can maybe turn this thing around a little bit quicker. Right now, I think the difficulties of the trades, honestly, are this. Like, it would benefit them financially to do it after the draft. Like, that helps them salary cap-wise in a much different fashion than if they did it before the draft. But how does that help them in compensation? Okay, now we're going to trade him after the draft, and we're going to get picks that now most likely will be worse than they would because they're getting Myles Garrett. So then the picks are going to go down in terms of where they are in the pecking order. So they're in a really interesting spot, as well as there's other pass rushers. Like, there's pass rushers in this draft, and a lot of them. I'm not saying any of them are Myles Garrett by any stretch. But you can go and snag a couple in the draft. You can get one in the draft. I think there's a few teams, like everybody says the Lions, and rightfully so. I think teams are just going to keep calling. What has happened for Andrew Berry is he has the ability right now, with Myles Garrett making this public, to at least know what the market is. He doesn't have to pick up the phone, but everybody's calling him and telling him exactly what the market is. So he is getting that information. Now, my understanding is they're not calling anybody back. But right now, he does have probably a lot of information on where things stand. I think this thing is like, I think during the draft, we're going to have to really kind of feel it out. And if it gets past that, I think he might be staying.
James Palmer here with us. You know, I wonder, because I said it, hey, I think he's going to go by the end of the first round. I wonder if we overrate that, just because when I talked to Myles Garrett at the Super Bowl, I went into it saying, okay, he says he wants to win, but how strict on that stance is he? Like, would he go to a place in Atlanta where they could make the playoffs, but you're not going to go win a Super Bowl? And I kind of emerged thinking, you know, if you're the Bills, you're the Chiefs, you're the Eagles, you know, you're Buffalo, you go through the Commanders, like some of those teams, that those are the teams that have a chance to get him. And all those teams are picking pretty much at the end of the first round anyway.
Yeah.
So does it matter if you then trade him by the first round? Because in all likelihood, all those teams are probably going to be in those late 20s, early 30s anyway, this time next year.
I'll just say this. I ran into Deion Dawkins during the Super Bowl week in New Orleans, and he just said, can we please get Myles Garrett? Can we just please, for two reasons. One, the dude's unbelievable. And two, I don't want to play against Myles Garrett because it's just a nightmare doing it. And so that's the way players are thinking. Like, they think he can change your organization like that. And so there are only a handful of teams that probably are in that grouping that you said, but you mentioned where they're picking. Like, that's where they're going to pick, and they're probably going to pick even lower once they get Myles Garrett. And so that's the hard part about making that deal. And I think the last part about this is, does Andrew Berry want to be known as the guy who made the worst trade in the history of the league and also traded away Myles Garrett? That's a tough spot to be in.
Yeah, and if I'm Myles, I'm just saying, what's your plan at quarterback? Because we know Watson's never going to play a snap for them probably ever again. And he could miss all of next year as well. I think people forget about the injury reporting on that. And then it's like, okay, even if Tennessee passes up on a quarterback, and I guess that then they would take a quarterback at two, Cleveland, right? With either Cam or Shador sitting there.
Yeah. And they certainly could. And I think Cam probably fits a little bit better just because of the nature of the division, the weather, the cold, the arm strength is probably valued in that division quite a bit. Shador would fit the system. I do think that's possible. And honestly, this sounds crazy. Like, they could pick a quarterback and still get Kirk Cousins. Like, they could do both. They really could.
You know, you're pay after what happened Cousins with Kirk last year and Michael Penix Jr., nothing would surprise me anymore with what
nothing would surprise me at all. Now there are people in the league that think Kirk can still play. There's people that think another year removed from the Achilles, he's going to be even better. There are people I've talked to in Atlanta that think he just flat out cannot play anymore. Like, and this happens with quarterbacks. Some of them just fall off a cliff. I mean, that Peyton Manning's last year, I live in Denver. I covered that team almost that whole year. He threw more picks than he did touchdowns his last year. You know, the injuries kind of his body being banged up and the neck kind of caught up with him. And he just kind of torpedoed to the ground, sadly, because he's one of the greatest of all time. But like, this happens with some quarterbacks. And I do think Kevin Stefanski would be able to evaluate that film a lot different than a lot of other people because of their history and because of their relationship. I think he could look at the film with a really educated eye and say, no, he can still play, or no, he can't, because he spent enough time working with Kirk. But they'd only pay him $1.3 million. Like, that's all they pay. So you could essentially, if you wanted to, if you were the Browns, like, you could draft Cam Ward second overall and bring Kirk Cousins in if you wanted to. I mean, I don't know if Kirk's going to make that quarterback room all that pleasurable to be in if that he has to go through that again. But, you know, that is something like you could tell Myles Garrett, hey, guess what? We didn't get one. We got two.
Yeah, and Lions, I think I said Buffalo twice. Lions would also be a destination potentially for Myles Garrett as
100%.
Well. Wrap it up with James Pomeroy's great job, senior NFL reporter and insider for Bleacher Report and also Underdog Fantasy. So Darnold, Fields, and Russ, I made predictions on those three. I'm going to say Sam Darnold to the Raiders, Justin Fields to the Jets, and then Russell Wilson, I think, was the most difficult one to place. I said Indianapolis, where he battles it out with Anthony Richardson.
That's an interesting one. I don't mind that. I mean, they really do need Anthony Richardson to take snaps, but you need another quarterback as well. Like, I think this is like a, hey, man, you're not on scholarship anymore. Like, you got to take some snaps and you got to play because we got to figure this out sooner rather than later. One of the things that makes the Eagles so good is they figure out what they did wrong and they try to fix it immediately. Most teams just sit there too long. But yeah, that's kind of an interesting. I think Sam Darnold to the Raiders makes a lot of sense. And I'm, you know, it used to be, and I asked a bunch of executives about this towards the tail end of the season, what are they going to do up in Minnesota? And it was like, you have to bring him back. The locker room loves him. He won 14 games. Like, you're signing him to a long-term deal. It's wild after two games, Zach, and time on top of that, how that narrative has shifted dramatically. And you look at where they're at, and this was pointed out to me by somebody else that I thought was really interesting. If they would have drafted better over the last couple of seasons, they'd probably be in a better position to sign Sam Darnold long-term. But they have too many holes in their roster. Like, and they don't have enough cap space. And they have cap space for sure. But if you sign a $40 million quarterback, say on a tag or something, then you don't have the room to do it. It seems more likely that it's going to be he's leaving and the Vikings are going to say, let us know what you're offered and keep us in the loop and maybe we can match it. Now, the thing to keep an eye on, though, is with J.J. McCarthy and the weight, to my understanding, and some other things, like, they love him and they think he can be the guy, but maybe the tag is to drag this out to make sure, you know, J.J. McCarthy's good, and then we can tag and trade, or we can do it. I mean, he's a very fascinating one. I think after Stafford, it's Sam Darnold that holds this entire landscape together. But it just seems like there's a lot of things connecting him to the Raiders.
Before we let you run, when you get to Cooper Kupp and Deebo Samuel, I think both guys are in similar spots where there will be games where they still look like a number one wide receiver, but there will be a lot more games where they look like a number two. Both have struggled to stay on the field the last few years. What's the return for both of those guys? You know, the Rams and Niners, when they trade one or, you know, both end up getting traded, what do you think that the target return is going to be for either of those guys?
I think the market's fascinating, Zach, honestly, because the draft doesn't have a whole lot of talent at the receiver spot. The free agent market's not all that great. And so you're looking at a guy like Kupp or Deebo Samuel. I think DK Metcalf could be on the move. I think Kyle Pitts, they're trying to see if they can move him. I'm just talking about, obviously, pass catchers, and since he's a tight end. But third round, fourth round, like, I think Debo's contract is difficult. I think that plays a factor into it. But I also think the landscape of the market right now makes some teams that are a little, like, receiver hungry maybe have to overreach a little bit for what they're looking at, and they will give up a third for Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, you know what? The Higgins situation, I think, is fascinating. And, you know, I've heard DK rumored as well. You know, he could probably go for, what, a first-round pick, you would think? Like an A.J. Brown type of deal from a few years back?
I don't think so. And this isn't my opinion. It's just I love talking to people that know these positions so well. And one thing with DK that has come up That was an awesome pro day I was at, by the way. DK and AJ at Ole Miss. I remember being at the pro day. They bursted through the doors, both of them obviously topless, and like didn't attend the rest of the pro day. They just ran their routes and like came in and destroyed. But like, if you're not an elite route runner, I was always told this, if you're not an elite route runner, when you start to get up in age, it's a little bit harder to win consistently. DK is still a physical specimen and still is such a mismatch because of his size, but he's not an elite route runner. And he's not a guy that can run a million different routes in the route tree. And so some people in the league believe as age comes along, you don't stay in the league very long like that. That's happened to players that are just bigger bodied, advantage type of guys. And then when push comes to shove down the road, they didn't learn how to play it another way. I don't think DK's viewed as a first round type of trade.
How many of these guys get taken care of in Cincinnati? Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, Trey Hendrickson. Do you think all three get taken care of this offseason?
I think this is the one team we all should be watching. Like, really. I mean, Joe Burrow is watching closer than all of us, right? And I think they financially can do it. They can get all of them done. You have to get Jamar Chase done. Like, and you know that's a record-breaking deal.
Should have got done last year, for being honest.
It 100% should have got done. And what we're waiting on and seeing here, Zach, is if they're going to change the way they do business. Like, are the Bengals going to finally change the way they do business and play within the same parameters that a lot of these other teams are playing in? Like, you go look at Philadelphia, what Jeffrey Lurie did. Like, he knows the business of television, right? He's been in it. What cutoff year are there, like, a lot of numbers past 29 and 30? 2020 and 2029 and 2030. Why? Because there's another TV rights deal coming up. Like, Philadelphia knows how to move money. And those are games that, like, Cincinnati just doesn't play. And they should have played them last year, because the price tag only went up when you become the sixth person ever to win a triple crown. It doesn't help you in terms of the negotiations. I think they can get them all done. And I didn't say that in the beginning of the middle of the year. I thought T. Higgins was certainly gone. I think him having the same agent now as Jamar Chase helps get that done. And I think they can get both of those guys done, specifically on offense, because they realized how unstoppable they are if everybody is healthy. And then the Trey one is, I think they can get it done. It's just a matter of if they change the way they do business. And I think that's what Joe Burrow's really keeping an eye on right now.
Make sure you check him out. Does a great job. Senior NFL reporter and insider for Bleacher Report and Underdog Fantasy. He's our pal, James Palmer. James, appreciate it. Thank you.
You too, buddy. Good seeing you.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.